Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to the Saturday edition of Take No Prisoners. It's November 3rd, and where on earth has the time gone? Folks, I'm so out of the loop, I didn't even know we were in November. And that's because I'm involved in all kinds of projects. My desk is piled high, and you know, that reminds me. The first time I had to visit a criminal attorney, which is what got me started down this road, he sat on a desk behind which were piles and piles of files. And the only thing I remember hearing was him telling me what his retainer would be. That was an interesting time because I had the pleasure of naming him as a third-party defendant years later in someone else's case. And that's years. The first time I met him, I was unconscious and uneducated. The second time we had our fortuitous meeting, I was conscious and educated. And he fled like a wounded dog. He was named as a third-party defendant, and he filed into that case a motion that basically confessed his incompetency. And in fact, we took him to the Bar Association for to have him disbarred by that confession. He was then the head of the Conflict Defender's Office, and he did a wonderful job of defending the conflict. He actually went into court and said, I'm going to put an affidavit in identifying this man as the defendant. Phil, you'll appreciate this.
Okay.
And the man he was going to identify as the defendant was standing in front of the same judge that had sent him to jail for 10 months on four charges, traffic charges. I had gotten him out, and he was recharged with the same four charges with a different police officer's name and different dates. Classic United States. We all love the system. And you know what the judge who had sentenced him in a kangaroo court to jail said to that conflict offender who had offered to identify the defendant, staring right there 5 feet away from the same man he had sentenced? He said, not in my court you don't. He wouldn't even let a third party identify him as the defendant. He knew better. We had educated him. He said, make a motion. Translation. I'll call you Monday morning. I'm not letting you get in that kind of trouble, because if you identify this guy, he's going to put you on the stand and ask you for your firsthand knowledge. And when you don't have it, he's going to prosecute you for perjury. And that's what they worry about, is having to testify. So if you were to take your case, let's say into the state superior court or state supreme court, mm-hmm. or if you were to take it into United States district court, then against the bank, your only hope of success would be to somehow make everyone convinced that you would be bringing them in to testify. Does that make sense to you, Phil?
Yes.
One way to do that is with notary deposition, and I suggest you download all the programs from September. As you know, I've been, and including last Sunday, did I say September? September and October. Because I've been talking heavily on this concept of trial by notary.
Well, I have a notary here that's willing, and I spoke to her about the trial by notary, and it's I got like three or four of them, but I wanted to educate them a little bit more.
No, Phil, you don't want to educate them more. This has to be a notary's free election, a patriot notary who knows exactly what he or she is doing. Because they could wind up with a serious challenge, and they will wind up hurting themselves, and then they'll turn and they'll hurt you.
Okay.
For a notary to issue a deposition is perfectly legitimate law and statute, but it also takes someone who knows what they're doing. And I'll tell you why when we come back. Folks, tune in. Join us in 3 minutes, please. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Dave Cannon.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special. Pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. And your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2200. Or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202. Or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. This is Take No Prisoners. We will be getting to the phones this segment. I appreciate everybody having been patient. As to filing a separate action, you can, but you'd be placing yourself at the mercy of a judge who will do everything to remain in equity. So, Phil, it is very easy to file a case like that. You already have the complaint.
Mm-hmm.
It's your notary certificate. If it was me, I would put count one. There is no evidence of a defect in registered public record number, whatever the county number is,
mm-hmm.
in which John Jones, agent, acting as agent for the Secretary of State of the, in Detroit, of the state of Michigan, has certified that... And then whoever the parties are at the bank, the CFO, and maybe the bank itself,
mm-hmm.
have confessed to having stolen X amount of funds in the special maritime jurisdiction, have confessed to holding all liability on instrument number such and such, have stipulated to all terms of the contract as evidenced as exhibit whatever, and that would be the Schedule D of default confessions, admissions, and stipulations,
mm-hmm.
and you would also reference them to the confession of judgment that's stapled there too, which is all part of your notary's packet. It literally could be a two-page pleading and then a few exhibit attachments, nothing very fancy, along with, as you stated, Phil, a petition for summary judgment based upon the pleadings. Or you could put the whole thing in as a confession of judgment in that other court, couldn't you?
Yes. Do you put it in the evidence file or to the public file, or you mainly on the private side of this?
Well, I'm talking about filing the case.
Filing the case.
Yes. You can file it as a judgment by confession.
Okay. And then remember
bringing the other party's confession in as prima facie evidence. Now, normally, a confession of judgment has an affidavit of confession, but in this case, in a case like this, and in cases I've done, we would have a judgment by confession that is really a document in lieu of filing a document called complaint. And in fact, you can file it as something called judgment in lieu of complaint. I've seen that done. And the confession that's attached to it would be the notary's certificate, to which is again stapled or attached Schedule C, confession by judgment, which you are signing as authorized representative on behalf of the true confessor. And that might fly. That might be the simplest way to get your court judgment directly if you chose to go that way instead of having a friend sue you. But in all of those cases, you're placing yourself at the mercy of the judge. And I think if you can get a court judgment that's clean and give that to the trustee, you've really complicated the situation for them tremendously, because if the trustee fails to execute, what do? You go back to the original court. Actually, your friend, the debtor in bankruptcy, goes back to the original court and says, excuse me, we need a hearing to show cause why this trustee operating in that other court is not enforcing your judgment. She's an officer of a court. They're all United States courts. So she has to come in and show why she should not be held in contempt of your judgment. So that's one way I would think about doing it instead of going in directly to another court. And lastly, let me just say, of course, you can use it as a counterclaim. You can use your notary's certificate or certificates from your administrative remedy as your counterclaim in the public. And that would be filed into the evidence file of the foreclosure case, along with a subpoena to bring the bank executive in. Without the subpoena, it's worthless.
Okay, and if we don't have a notary in place to do the subpoena, that would be willing.
You have someone in place to do a subpoena.
Which is the judge?
It's called the court clerk.
Clerk. Okay. Have her issue
and you could use a notary too as part of this case, but if I was going to use a notary subpoena, which I never have done, but as you know, it's something that I'm working with right now. If I was going to use a notary subpoena, I would want it to be in a separate action entirely, so that if the party that has been placed under subpoena does what is expected, which is a quick trip to the nearest court to get an injunction against the subpoena, I would have the notary acting in capacity as a county judge subpoena the other judge in as well, to show where they have an authority to quash a subpoena issued in a private administrative process, not in a court case. What is that judge sticking his nose into that process? It would be judge against judge. And that, to me, sounds extremely interesting. That's why I say it would take an experienced notary.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Somewhat.
All right, Phil. That's all the time I can devote to you without being unfair to everyone else.
Okay.
So thanks for joining me. Doris, are you there? Or has Doris dropped off? Maria in Washington. Maria, are you still with us?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Maria.
Great.
Welcome to the program. Do you have a question about all of this?
Well, my question relates to the rescission process in conjunction with this bankruptcy process.
Okay.
If you tender a rescission document, which is on your latest CD from your latest seminar.
Okay.
does each fiduciary agent need a separate rescission letter, or can you list all of the agents on your promissory note and send it directly to the CEO of the mortgage company for all the other people connected?
Well, Maria, I can't let you get away with that question. What are you seeking to rescind?
A previous promissory notes tendered to the mortgage company that.
Okay, very good.
Never been.
Okay, I thought you were trying to sneak in a criminal complaint question there, Maria, and it would have been very crafty. First of all, it's situational, and it depends on the particular parties that are involved and how the individual has decided to structure this whole thing. So I don't really have an answer for you. I can only give you a couple of examples. Well, the first rule, and this would be a rule that comes to mind, is to whomever I issued an instrument or a note or entered into contract with that I would like to rescind, that would be the party that I would seek out for the rescission. I would also be thinking about holders in due course. If there were multiple parties named on a single promissory note, I would only issue it to one party. I'm not going to waste my time or paper. On the other hand, there might be an exception to that. If I had combined diverse parties, such as, let's say, a clerk in a court, and then a warden in a prison on the same promissory note, which I personally would not do, then I would probably issue the rescission to both parties.
Okay, so if a promissory note, a current bonded promissory note, lists parties like the mortgage company, the sheriff's, the court clerk, as the people involved in a forcible removal from the property, would it be better to have had that promissory note more divided into more than one note?
I can't say it would have been better. I probably would have done it as separate processes, not to complicate the issue, Maria, but because I may have made different demands on those parties. For instance, I may have, once it's in the hands of the court and the clerk is holding the liability, I would do all my contract work with the clerk, and I would be, if it was a prison case, for instance, I would be rescinding all the pretrial services and all of that stuff, probably through the clerk, redrafting that contract. On the other hand, once I have those parties as successor sureties, I might be surrendering them to the sheriff or the marshals, and that might be done with a separate process. On the other hand, I might want, if the marshals are actively involved, I might want to include them in that process, but I probably would still be issuing separate promissory notes so that each one gets a fresh, original document in their hands. Each liability is been separately addressed. Who's ever holding liability, I would want certainly to have access to the funds, and that might require separate notes. There are no correct rules here. I would think of it as a check. What would you do with a check? Either you know how much each one is owed and you pay separate checks, or you might include them all as co-payees on a check, just like companies do to you. If you have a DBA, they might list the DBA and they might list you.
Okay, so if you had in a forcible removal from a property, and you have the attorney, you have the sheriffs or the cops present, several of them to get you off the property, to get the man off the land, am I hearing you right that you would do separate promissory notes for each of those types of groups?
I might.
It depends
on what the message is I want to provide. I might want to give a very forceful notice to the sheriff that here is the liable party and it has been paid. We'll pick this up after the break, folks. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back in 3 minutes. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Stick with us, Maria.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
For miles around, you can hear the drums from hollow logs and old tom toms. Right from the jungle, so loud and plain. Let's get aboard the boogie train. It's a boogie thing. Oh, it's a boogie thing. It's a boogie thing. Boogie all night long.
You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Sorry, folks, we had a glitch at this end, but I'm glad to be back. It's been one of those days, I guess. Maria, you still there?
I am.
All right, very good. Maria, it depends upon circumstances, but I think it's important to make a very straightforward presentation to the policing agencies at that point as to who the liable party is. And again, I want to emphasize that the use of subpoenas would be extremely important in a situation like that. Plus, now, in an unlawful detainer action, I would want to have a tenants agreement in place, a master tenants agreement.
Okay, so that, I've reviewed that.
Yeah, so that someone shows up at court and here's a copy of the lease. Here, bailiff, hand it to the judge. Please open this sealed registered letter. And there it is. There's the lease in place. Are you going to evict the tenant in peaceful possession? And here's an affidavit from the landlord that the tenant has paid his rent and takes good care of the property. All right, so I hope that answers your question. Thank you for joining us, Maria.
Thanks.
Vince in Oregon, are you there?
Yeah, this is Vince in Oregon.
Hi, Vince. Thanks for joining us. What can I do for you?
Let me lower the computer. I'm calling about a situation that's been going on for almost four years now, where I've been in foreclosure, and I've been through four bankruptcies and two court cases, one state, one federal. And while I was in a federal bankruptcy, I had a lawyer go into the state court, get summary judgment on me.
Repeat that, please, Vince. While you were in where?
While I was in the bankruptcy court, I had an attorney go into the state court and do a summary get a summary judgment on me. I have since opened up a federal court case, and I had that dismissed by the judge with prejudice because he felt I was in foreclosure much too long. And I put that case into the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals because of his prejudice. Then I opened up a federal court case after I was notified by the bank and their law firm that they would be activating the sheriff to have me removed from the property. That case is still pending. We haven't had any hearings on it whatsoever, and people are still filing their briefs. Yesterday I came home, and there was a notice attached to the tree at the entry to my property. And it's a court form, and it states that they're seeking a commercial eviction. And I have to appear in court on the 14th of this month to answer the summons. And right now I'm at a loss of where I can go or what I should do, but this is actually out of jurisdiction because the federal court has this case right now. And I've done a complete VIC process all the way through step 8, which was the 1099-C. And they're not into the note. They're not reconveying my property. And all they want to do is take
me to court. Let me stop you there, Vince. First of all, congratulations on holding this thing off for so many years. It sounds like you've gained a lot of experience.
Yes, I'm.
Right, but maybe too much experience in equity, because equity is not a fun place to be.
Right.
You are skilled with courts. You're not afraid to go to courts.
Right.
You're not afraid to file papers. You're not afraid to appear.
No.
Why don't you grab the principal in this case, CFO of the bank or whomever you've involved, and bring them into some venue under oath?
Mm-hmm.
And ask him to identify a defect in his confession that he stole the funds.
Okay.
Unless you put proof of claim on the other party,
mm-hmm.
you're going to lose.
Right.
Right? And there are a lot of ways to do that. You're a bright man, and you've been around the block a few times on this. You, of all people, can probably figure out half a dozen ways to force testimony. You see, right now you're resisting. They have you in this court, that court, the other, and you say, well, he shouldn't be in that court because the jurisdiction is held in this court. That's fine.
Right.
Use those courts. They want to be in all. They don't just want you in Disneyland. They want you in Disney World and Universal Studios and all those places. I think you can have fun in all of them.
Okay.
Stay on the line. We'll pick this up after the break. All right, Vince? Look away. Thanks. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Welcome back, friends. This is the final half hour of a fairly busy Saturday, November 3rd session of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We received a number of emails here in response to one, two, three of these. You can order the Collecting in Bankruptcy seminar at Take No Prisoners at hush.com. Just address it to Brian. Brian at takenoprisoners@hush.com, and he'll tell you what's involved. A bankruptcy may not be for everyone, but I'll tell you, under all of these kinds of controversies that we're seeing, you can have an awful lot of fun. We haven't even touched the surface on what you can do there, other than to mention that pursuant to their statutes, the trustee must, and I say must, monetize the instrument, monetize the estate of the debtor in bankruptcy. And unfortunately, most people go into that as a debtor instead of as a creditor. And there are strategies that we've reviewed for going into the bankruptcy court as a living man creditor to the legal fiction straw party. Will they hate that and find it abhorrent and consider it to be a direct challenge to the United States? Yes. That's why we also have strategies for walking in, as we were discussing during the first hour. Just picture that. Three or four creditors showing up, all friendly creditors, and a debtor in bankruptcy, and perhaps even the debtor to the debtor in bankruptcy at the other end of the court judgment, all showing up for that meeting. The trustee has no idea what's coming. And one or two of those friendly creditors might be notaries, and sitting in their back pocket, Vince, is a notary's subpoena. Oh, you're not going to collect and monetize the debt to pay me. Well, here's a subpoena for a hearing outside of the venue of this court. We're going to bring you in under oath. And we reviewed those techniques at that seminar. But, Vince, let me just say that the first thing that I'm thinking in a situation like yours is to hold a notary deposition of you in classic Patriot style, where your administrative process will be read into the record, and then the notary will issue a certification that this is the deposed testimony and the other parties failed to appear and have defaulted on the deposition. And that would be then placed by the notary into the evidence file in any of those cases. That might throw a very quick and easy monkey wrench into the process right away.
Okay.
Now, what if on the same day that they get a notice of taking deposition, where the notary has sent out notice that your deposition is to be taken, what if the same day they receive a subpoena from any one or multiple court cases? You go to the clerk, you're involved in the case. You know how to have a clerk issue subpoenas.
Right.
So you request a dozen subpoenas. Have you ever had a clerk refuse?
No.
We did one time, and we gave her a very simple message. Well, ma'am, then I don't need a half dozen subpoenas. I just need one, and would you please put your name on it? That did, actually. It was a local case, and that actually did wake her up very quickly. You know what she did. She immediately ran to the administrative attorney for the court. And we posed two questions to him. We asked him, number one, would he like his name on the subpoena as well? And number two, where was his statutory authority to be determining the rules and regulations of the court? Who was he? And did we have to bring him to the bar to be identified? So we made short work of that. So I don't want to make such a bold statement as the second you issue those subpoenas, watch things change. But I think it was in Corinthians where it was said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. That might be in my prayer when I seek to turn this around, and subpoenas are a great way to turn it around.
Okay.
Are you still in a bankruptcy case?
No. I've been barred from bankruptcy for 180 days.
Who said you've been barred from bankruptcy?
That's what they said. They barred from bankruptcy for 180 days.
Who's they?
One of the attorneys for the debt collector requested it from the bankruptcy judge, and he got it.
And was that opposed?
By me?
Yes.
No, not at that time. I was also...
There's another avenue. You can put in a notice to reconsider that order.
Okay.
Because it's no longer stipulated. And unless you voluntarily withdraw from the bankruptcy, or unless you fail to follow the orders of the court, you're allowed to refile instantly.
Okay.
And there is a statute for that. You know, my reputation precedes me. I'm not real big on statutes, and I don't necessarily remember that statute number, but I'll bet I can find it if you send me an email, or you look for it. That'll get you back into those bankruptcy codes.
Okay.
So there are a lot of avenues one might take. Certainly.
Well, I did request a B-10 form, and they sent them out, and one attorney sent it back, signed by a law clerk. So I did a motion in limine on it and told the bankruptcy court to seal the case and preserve the evidence because the B-10 form was introduced into the court under fraud. And I was supposed to go to a 341 meeting, and my truck broke down on the freeway, so I couldn't go. Unfortunately, I don't have the bankruptcy court number on my cell phone. I don't know anybody that would. But
well, let me interrupt you there.
On Monday, they dismissed my case.
Yeah, let me interrupt you there. That's also a petition to reconsider. We've seen that numerous times. People have defaulted at hearings. But that's not something that can't be undone. This is all commercial.
Okay.
So we would, how do we do a petition to reconsider? We start with an apology. I deeply regret, the debtor in bankruptcy deeply regrets having defaulted on that hearing, and it was an act of God that was at cause, and here is the invoice for the truck repair to prove it. So now let's hold the 341 again. And by the way, you don't just want to go to the 341. You need to formally object to the claim, and that's Form 20B, as I recall, which is a notice of objection to the claim. And you might want to download that at the bank from the bankruptcy library and look it over. Because are you aware that a Form B-10 with a writing stapled to it is considered prima facie evidence of the claim?
Not until today.
Well, that's why they wreck such havoc. For instance, in some of these tax cases, they walk in, they fill out a B-10, and they actually write on the form, Vince,
mm-hmm.
that they have a secured interest of, let's say, $500,000. Now, you don't even have to have a friendly creditor in there to have some fun with that, either at a hearing to object or at a 341 meeting. In either circumstance, you will have the opportunity to question or to ask the trustee or the judge to question, Your Honor, would you please ask him if that's his signature? And is that, and please read what it says below that.
Right.
It doesn't actually say signed under penalty of perjury. That's why it's outside the box. But they will be forced to assume that it's a penalty of perjury signature.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next question is, did you happen to bring the security interest with you? And we reviewed all of that at the collecting and bankruptcy seminar.
The security interest being another promissory note?
No, their security interest. If it were a tax court or something of that sort, if it was a taxing agency, or some other government agency which purports to have a security interest when none truly exists. And then the questioning process begins. Did you happen to bring the security interest with it? Oh, it's stapled to it. Oh, it is. Well, I can't find a signature. Can you point one out there? I don't find any. Is there an affidavit of obligation, an invoice, a bill, anything at all in which the debtor in bankruptcy consented to this so-called lien, the secured interest you're purporting to have? And eventually you're going to make a monkey out of him and then point out to the trustee that pursuant to, I believe it's Title 28, she has an obligation. It may be Title 28, 567. Pursuant to that section, if that's the correct section, she has an obligation to report her observations of criminal behavior directly to the U.S. attorney. And we've had people just recently do that. And they're starting to find out that there are circumstances where they have to follow their own statutes. And by the way, it's 11 U.S.C. 109 subparagraph G that says, notwithstanding any other provision of this section, no individual or family member may be a debtor under this title who has been a debtor in a case pending under this title at any time in the preceding 120 days. If the case was dismissed by the court for willful failure of the debtor to abide by orders of the court, And subparagraph 2, the debtor requested and obtained the voluntary dismissal of the case. So what do? Yeah, as he said in The Godfather, you chove that under their nose in your petition to reconsider.
Okay.
With an apology for not having shown for that hearing.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah. Now, you mentioned...
I don't see the gas being out of this tank by any means.
Okay.
I've got some other calls I've got to take.
I know. You mentioned I should email Brian at hush.com.
Email Brian at Take No Prisoners, the name of this radio program, at hush.com. I am not going to withhold a recommendation on that course. That was my best work. I'm absolutely convinced.
Okay, and also,
and if you're in bankruptcy, it's a wealth of knowledge and information. Plus, just the study notes alone on that, they're all hot linked. They'll take you to all of this. They'll cut your study time down from days to a couple hours to read.
Okay, and your email address is?
Same thing. TakeNoPrisoners@hush.com.
Okay.
Good luck to you, Vince.
All right, thank you.
Vince, you have the experience.
Yeah, I know.
Use it.
I wish
remember,
I didn't.
Remember, he is a new creation.
That's true.
And so are you as of today. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, Clee in Arizona. Are you on the line?
Oh, yes, I am.
Very good. We're going to have to make it a fast one because there's one other call I need to get to. My apologies, but thank you for holding, Clee.
Okay, sure.
What do you got?
I've got the possibility of having my wages garnished sheet by the Internal Revenue Service, and I would just like to know if there is any kinds of methods to prevent that from happening.
I just reviewed that on the air. If it was me, there are many, in answer to your question, there are many, many methods.
Okay.
All the way from an abatement to some of the procedures we discussed. If it was me and I was in commerce, then I would consider what we were just talking about. Because if you're at that point, you're probably ripe for a bankruptcy action. And if you filed a bankruptcy action and, Lord willing, you had at least one friendly creditor in there to participate in the questioning as well, just imagine sitting them down and questioning any party on a lien, the qualifications of a purported lien which doesn't have a signature. Just imagine how that would go.
Okay.
In addition, what if you had reversed the lien and perfected it through commercial process? Have you done that?
No.
All right, so you haven't paid it off or anything of that sort?
No.
See, that's the way I would approach. I would pay everything and use a notary to enact the payment across international borders, make sure it's all certified, file it in the county, take the records out, and then I would bring them into one of my venues. Could be a private venue, could be a private administrative process using a notary, could be a subpoena in another case, could be a criminal complaint, could be bankruptcy court. Bankruptcy is real handy and quick, so I like it that way. And they come in, and you can have them placed under oath when you object to the claim.
Okay.
Sort of interesting.
Okay.
Sort of interesting to have someone have to qualify a claim in a venue where you get to question them, isn't it?
Yeah, sure would be.
Yeah. So I hope that answers your question.
It certainly helps me. It really does.
Very good. Good luck to you.
Okay, thank
Bill
you.
Bill in Ohio. Bill, are you there?
I am here.
Hello, Bill. Do I know you, Bill?
I don't know. I'm known as the printer in Cincinnati. From Cincinnati.
I just got out of a psychiatric
evaluation.
You just had one?
I just had one. I was in there for 2 months. They probated me in, and they probated me out. I had 6 witnesses that appeared up in front of their probate court. Case dismissed. And the bailiff said that there was no charges in the first place. I had charges in 3 different counties, and they extradited me to a county that was 4 hours' drive away. They had 2 deputies drive 4 hours down, and when they asked me to give me my date of birth, I refused. I said, I'm not answering any of your questions. They said, well, you go back to your cell then. So the deputies were a little disappointed. They had a quick conference.
Bill, the outcome is, we're shy on time here, Bill. The outcome is that you had this case dismissed or you dismissed it?
All cases were dismissed except for one county. I was in four different counties, and there's just one hanging that I have to get going.
And how have you affected these dismissals? What's been your
mainly ask for the oath of office.
Oh, very good. And did
it
you
seemed
secure
like
a
they didn't want to know anything more about it.
Did you secure a copy of their oath of office?
Yes, I did, and certified it in through notary.
And did you accept it?
Yes, I accepted it for value. Yes, I did.
Very good. Did you do any commercial process along with that?
Yes, I put a $300 million lien bond, and then I put a presentment of $50 million for each impairment.
Oh, this sounds familiar, Bill. By the way, who's coaching in the background? Who's that coach?
That's my wife.
Well, give her our best. Well, how do you feel about
it? Sometimes it's coaching and sometimes it's nagging and arguing both ways.
No, it's never nagging. It's never nagging.
Well,
I can't say that
well,
in public.
However, whatever. Here,
I'll tell you what, I'll work
well,
a wife.
Well, my question is, I have two properties in foreclosure. And they're both with the same loan company out of Florida.
Okay, that music, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Bill, that music means we're going to go to a break. Hang on the line. We'll try and have you ask a fast question when we return because we're in our final 5 minutes.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement, Focus Factor, absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Well, folks, we made it to the final segment, and I feel blessed to have been delivered today, considering all of the technical problems we had, and for which I give you my deepest, sincere apologies, and I hope we'll do better in the future. So, Bill, you have a couple of foreclosures ongoing. Bill, did you leave us? I guess Bill must have dropped off. George, are you there? George in California, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, George.
Okay.
George, we have literally 1 minute. Very fast question.
Okay. I have on a mortgage, this outfit keeps saying, we don't want no stinking bill of exchange. It's not acceptable to pay your loan in full. And I've done it with someone else helping me, not you. I'm asking you about the notary. I talked to one of your people I got referred to from you in Sacramento, which is quite a ways from me. But anyway, I probably should go there and...
George, 10 seconds. My apologies.
I should finish with a notary, shouldn't I?
Okay, I appreciate the question. Let me say a couple of things. Number one, everything I do is through a notary, so I have a public record. I only do it so I can say to the other guy, what did you do with the funds? Show me the defect in your confession. Show me how you didn't steal the money, et cetera, et cetera. So everything we do is through a notary. Secondly, I don't use bills of exchange other than directly with the Department of Treasury generally. But I don't use them, and I certainly don't use them as currency. We've used a lot of promissory notes. We consider them to be safer instruments. I don't care what they say, that you can't do this, you can't do that.
This was a birth certificate thing through the Treasury.
That's fine. The notary says it was paid. Here's the point. I don't care what you say, Mr. CFO of the bank. Here's the certification that, A, it was paid, B, you dishonored it, and C, you confessed to having stolen it. So let's talk about those issues, not about what you will or won't accept. And then I'm going to bring you in to testify under oath, what did you do with Henry Paulson's money? George, I hope that answers your questions. Thank you for joining us. Folks, let me just say it's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate that we weren't on our game today, but this was a nice, interesting, invigorating discussion to go to the phones more like this, and I hope it was helpful to you. Bankruptcy, subpoenas, summonses, uses of notaries, all those things can be very potent indeed in bringing those parties who will not recognize their own system of public policy to the forefront under oath to testify. And as to Bill, who dropped off the phone line, who spent, from what I heard, 60 days in lockup for a psych evaluation, which should have taken all of 10 seconds, if at all, let me just remind him that he needs to forgive. He sounds like a forgiving man, and all of us need not to be saying, I'll pay you back for this wrong. What was it in Proverbs? It was something like, wait for the Lord and he will deliver you. It's hard for us to remember that. It's hard for me to remember that. But I suggest we wait for the Lord. We ask for his forgiveness and his wisdom. And then we go out there and do his work. We pay all of our liabilities. We pay all taxes that are due. Any accounts where we have been acting as the trustee, and we have been acting as the trustee of the straw party for all those years, we take care of all of our obligations, we satisfy all claims, and then if the accounts aren't adjusted, we go ahead and we ask for testimony, we ask for an accounting, a certified accounting as to the location of the funds. We always give them a chance for forgiveness first. If you're interested in that bankruptcy seminar, that's a take no prisoners.